Well, welcome back as we head into hour two of our daily three-hour tour. It is a delight to bring back to the show Congressman David Schweikert representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. Sorry we've been missing you, David, due to the time changes, but it's good to have you back. And it was good to see you a couple weeks ago.
The time changes and the lunacy of the job.
I know, there's a lot of it, isn't there? And it was good running into you, too, the other day.
Yeah. But look, it's what you sign up for, and that's just the nature of something that happens to be have a lot of human input, shall we say.
Yeah. You guys have your hands full in Congress right now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So in 20 minutes, I'll manage part of the floor time tonight, and then we'll start amendment roulette tomorrow. On everything from a border protection bill to the financing of helping our allies to it's going to be an interesting. We're probably here through the weekend.
Would you say a word or two, Congressman, about the importance of winning the Senate? Because, this great work you guys are doing, I mean, it does find a yield and stop sign, doesn't it? On the other side of D.C., on the other side of the Capitol, I mean.
And here, do you all remember, God, if you're our age, the 70s, early 80s, Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah.
I'm a Bill on Capitol Hill.
Yeah,
only part of that is actually how it ultimately works. Because so often you're working on a piece of legislation, and you're running around trying to get votes, you're trying to get the committee of jurisdiction willing to hear it, and then you run into one of the leadership staff saying, hey, we've already gotten word from the Senate, they're not going to hear it, so we're not going to spend time on it. It's not like Bill on the Capitol Hill where the House passes things, sends it to the Senate passes things, sends them over here, and we rework them. In many ways, the calendar has become so overwhelming because some of it's our own personal dysfunction, let's be honest. People who are fussing and fighting, and that often, because we don't control the Senate, there's a lot of things you'd love to do that you just don't even move out of the House because it's never getting a hearing. It's like our H.R. 2, the big border protection bill, wasn't immigration, border protection bill, was one of the very first things we passed a year ago. Send it over to the Senate and disappears. So yes, that's the long way around of saying how important it is to control both bodies so things move and you can work together.
Talk to me about a piece of legislation you're promoting that you have put together, which I think could have bipartisan support if pitched the right way, and it's the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act. It has to do with R&D expensing. It has to do with small businesses.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All right. For everyone, it's a tax geek, so all three of you.
Stop it.
Well, yeah, you're a bit of one, too,
even though
you're a lawyer.
I know. That's a double hit. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. was I being mean there?
You're being mean, David Schweikert.
When we did the economic modeling after the 2017 tax reform, remember, individual rates, corporate rates, pass-through rates, the ability to do expensing, research and development expensing, international repatriation. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of complex things in that tax reform bill.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where we got the most economic growth out of? It turns out it was the ability for a business to say, I'm going to research something and build a new style of piece of equipment. I'm going to go out and buy a new piece of manufacturing equipment to make us more efficient. And because we're more efficient, I can pay my workers more. And I can expense it. Instead of depreciating it over 5 years or 7 years, I can depreciate it on the first day.
Right.
And it starts this virtuous cycle of, I buy the new piece of equipment, I get more efficient, I pay my workers more. Well, now my competitors are buying new pieces, I got to buy a new one. And we saw this productivity gain because people were pushing themselves to get more and more and more efficient. That, on research and development, that expired. And on other types of capital goods, it's been shrinking down. And next year or so, it goes down to just regular old depreciation where you have to do it over some things as long as 12 years, depending on its category. And now with these high interest rates, businesses saying, I can't buy the piece of equipment. Right. I have to finance it, and right. I have to finance it at today's interest rates or right. my research and development. I have to finance it at these. So we're actually seeing research and development and capital equipment purchases in America flattening out or falling, which is going to really, really hurt workers' wages, because workers' wages go up from two things. Inflation, which is you're peddling, you know, and it's running in place, our productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've even met with some of the Fed economists how incredibly important it is to get up this productivity cycle. So, yes, I have a piece of legislation that's trying to step back the ability to expense research and development and capital purchases for productivity, and it's dead in the Senate right now. And it's actually a couple Republicans that are fighting over it.
Well, we can say a word about that if you want in a sec. Let me just follow up on this point. First of all, I love your energetic and optimistic attitude about this. I really do, because productivity is about growth. And you're one of the few people, I'd like to count myself among them, that thinks if we are going to get our hands in a meaningful way around some of our deficit problems and other financial problems, it really is going to be about growth. But growth is about productivity and the kind of thing you're talking about. This is where mm-hmm. growth comes from, right? Am I right on this?
It's both a productivity and the adoption of technology disruptions.
Okay, yeah. Why are Republicans in the Senate slow?
Because part of it was the only way we could get through and get a promise of the president's signature and a promise that at least Democrats would, is we played with the child tax credit, which uh-huh. often had been a Republican issue.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to deal with the political dance. We have a number of our Senate friends, and one of them's my buddy, and he's my problem. But as he says, look, I'm running for the Senate leadership now that McConnell's leaving, and I need to look tough on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that just infuriates me, because it's the dance of perception over the dance over good economics.
Okay. All right. Well, what can we do? Call our senators and tell them to push to move it?
Yeah. In a weird way, this is sort of my job.
Okay.
Because it's sort of inside baseball.
Okay.
So every couple of days I'm walking over, bringing them a cappuccino, saying, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
And there's other things. I have, you know, the SRP lift storage bill that I got out of the House, turning just a sort of a drop storage lake over basically Apache Lake and turning it into a big battery. Things like that that are very local that would be really good for our economy. And I've gotten them out of the House, and they're sitting in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So if any of you are friends with senators, please help me.
Okay, David Schweiker. Thank you for that. Is Speaker Johnson safe in his position from where you see it?
No.
Yeah, right? It's always tender, isn't it?
It's to be played out.
Yeah.
And this is for another show, because it's going to take a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, I have this fear that the pounding troll farms coming out of China and Iran and Russia.
Yeah.
There's a great article right now, if you're into Wired magazine and those sort of things,
sure.
talking about the analytics that even Microsoft and others have done, tracking all the fake and AI and all these artificial videos that have been crashing into the United States the last year. And it's basically meant to tear us apart as a society. Our problem is, you would be shocked how many people that don't listen to intellectual talk radio like you, who get these crazy things on their phone and they believe it.
Yeah. Send me that article if you don't mind. I'd like to run it through the audience. I'd love to run it through the audience.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I have a couple more. I'll send them to you tonight.
Yeah, please.
And it's, you got to understand, we, in many ways, we are at war right now.
Yeah.
But it's an information war.
I know.
They're trying to not win. They're trying to pollute the hearts and minds of Democratic Republicans.
I know, and we're sitting ducks on that as an open society. It's eternally been the problem of the open society, is that, you know, they don't have these problems in Russia or China, because they can turn the press.
They turn it off.
Yeah, they just turn it off. And
we had some intelligence data last week that China is now spending billions of dollars on these misinformation campaigns.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that's like been going at Israel has actually been coming through Chinese servers.
Oh, of course. And TikTok has done its number on us as well. Well, David, well, go ahead.
You got to be. It's much bigger than TikTok.
I understand.
On every platform around us.
I understand. Well, God love you, sir. Thank you for checking in. Go back to work. We need
Goodbye
you
now.
Busy. All right. Thank you, David Schweikert. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.